I've been recording these messages for the internet. How many of you went out to see the internet today? The website. Did any of you go out and look at the website? I've already posted this morning's message out there. Oh, how many people have a computer?
And how many people have a computer with any kind of high speed whatsoever?
Oh.
Not out here.
Okay. Okay. Well, anyway, we're on the World Wide Web. The messages are on the World Wide Web, too. Where did we leave off this morning? Ah, go to 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 10. As I said, it would probably be a continuance of a message this morning. We are dealing with tonight the strategy of the saints, understanding your duty. This morning we did what? Understanding your what? Understanding your what? Calling! Oh my, y'all forgotten so quickly. Tonight we're going to be looking at the strategy of the saints, understanding your duty. And I'll start off where we left off this morning. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 10. And this is absolutely not where my mark is in my Bible, so I need to get to 2 Peter. Here we go. There we are. 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse number 10. I don't know what it is. Something about that song, I just get all out of whack or something. Just, it's all right. It's okay. No. Dancing like the preacher does? Oh, that song just gets me so excited to sing that I'm saved, saved, saved. That talking to Let's move on. 2 Peter 1:10. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fail. Father, tonight I want to look from your word, truly indeed, what you've laid on my heart, a duty for all saints of God. Yes, there are different offices to serve you in. Yes, there are different ways that every one of us can serve you. But there is certain duties that you have assigned to every one of us. And Father, with these things, we'll not fail you. We'll be successful. Not in our own success, but in the success of the kingdom. Father, I know that within some of our homes, some of the friends that we have and acquaintances, some people that we talk to on a regular basis, they don't know you through your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, every one of us know lost people. And every one of us should be concerned for their soul's destiny. And Father, these things that you have laid on my heart will help each and every one of us to be stronger for you and to serve you, that others may indeed come to know you. God, I'm asking you to use this time to recharge our hearts with these few words that you've given me to speak, that indeed we become on fire for you. In Jesus' name, amen. The strategy of the saints, understanding truly indeed what your duty is. And I just know indeed that every one of us don't realize that there are some things that we should really always be working on and be doing as saints of the Most High God. You know, this salvation thing that we sometimes throw around so loosely, we don't realize that truly indeed it came with a price. That price was the shed blood of Jesus. And as we know that, as we talked about team players and things that we do, there's things that each and every one of us have a duty to do. And I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 quick little points that we'll go through. 1 John chapter 2, verse number 3. It's just the Word of God is indeed the best place to go for everything that you have. 1 John chapter 2, verse number 3. And I might, while we're turning there, I might just bring my teaching stand down. Y'all mind if I just come down here and teach y'all tonight? Is that all right? It's so much easier to have a place to put my Bible and just teach tonight. I'll do a little more teaching tonight. Tonight, we want to look, though, truly at the duties of every saint. Understanding your duty. 1 John chapter 2, verse number 3. And hereby do we know that we know Him. There's confidence in the saint. And hereby do we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. There's the number one duty of every saint of God, is to keep the commandments of God, to keep His Word. How can you keep His Word if you never open the Bible, if you never read it, if you never look at what it is that God wants you to do? You cannot keep His Word, you cannot keep His commandments if you never open the Bible.
Amen.
Saints of God who have a duty, every last one of us should be studying some part of the Bible in some way or another. And there are some of you I just enjoy so much to be around because you're always studying the Word of God. You're always digging into things. And you'll ask me these questions and basically you come away and say, that preacher don't know no more than I do. Because there's... He don't know as much as I do. And that's what George says. That preacher's so dumb. He's dumb as a bag of rocks. You know, box of bricks. You know, there's a message in that being as dumb as a rock and praising the Lord too, by the way. But here's the thing is, every last one of us have a responsibility and a duty as a saint of the Most High God to open God's Word somewhere and study it. Study it. It's your duty. Some of you wait till you come to Sunday school and let the Sunday school teacher just spoon feed you. You spit all over you, didn't I? You did again. This is the anointing section, by the way. You knew that?
Yeah,
beat. I was spitting on her and beat on you last time, didn't I? But here's the thing about it is, some of you wait and let somebody else spoon feed it to you. I had one of the preachers tell me, well, we've been spoon feeding this congregation with John 3:16 for 20 years. And they ain't got it yet.
Hey, there's that much in John 3:16 and you go that far.
You could. No doubt. No doubt. You're exactly right. But here's the thing is, people just stop. They won't read the Bible for themselves. And you, indeed, every one of us have a duty. I have a duty to study the Word of God, to prepare messages for you, but I have a duty as a saint of God to study it on my own for my own growth. Studying the Word of God will make you strong. You have a duty to keep His commandments. How do you know what His commandments are if you never read His Word? This is just not a good-looking centerpiece for your coffee table. It's not just something for you to look intelligent when you walk in and out of Sunday school with. Or you come and go from church. Or just impressed. This is a book that you should read. And there are some of you Bible scholars, as I know you got several translations, several Bibles in your house. I have a bunch. But if I don't read them, they don't do me an ounce of good.
Amen.
And then if I read them and don't apply them, they're worthless. You can have all the knowledge in the world sitting up here in the top of your head, but if you never apply it, it doesn't do you any good. You would show and explain to him, if he didn't put his finger in the wrong place, he'd wind up that. See, there's certain things that you learn by accident, huh? But there's so much more that we can learn and live by if we hold the Word of God in our hearts. As a saint of God, you have a duty to read the Word of God. Whatever will motivate you to read God's Word and keep His Word, you need to find it. If you're not reading the Word of God on some type of a regular basis, some type of a Bible study, and believe you me, there's a lot of things out there that will help you become motivated to read the Bible. I gave those sheets. We still have them out there. How to read through the Bible in a year. You don't like that one? I got another one. I got one where you read a little bit of the Old Testament, a little bit of Psalms, a little bit of Proverbs, and a little bit of the New Testament on a daily basis. and you'll eventually read through the entire Bible within a year. Take something. Take a book out of the Bible. I always tell new believers, start with the epistles of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, then go to the book of John, then pick up Mark, Matthew, and then Luke. If you've never read through the Bible, pick up a book. Pick up the Bible. Find something that you're interested in and read it. Now, just don't read blah, 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 blah. Read it. Study it. Meditate on it. Chew on it. As the cow that would chew the cud, meditate on it. Memorize it. It is the duty of the saints of God to study the Word of God, to memorize it, hiding His Word in your heart that you'll not what? Sin against God. You have a duty to keep God's Word, to know God's Word. What this will do for you over in 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 2, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 2, what this will do for you, if you read and study the Word of God, this is beginning where you will begin as newborn babes. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. As newborn babes, desire the milk of the Word that ye may grow thereby. Here is something, though, that we need to focus on. You got to start out in this world as a baby on formula or nursing milk or some type of baby food, right? You don't start out eating steaks when you're a baby, do you? You don't start eating hamburgers and french fries when you're a baby. How many of you got little nieces, nephews, or little children that are babies? Been around babies before? You ever fed them hamburgers and french fries when they was 2 weeks old? Huh? They what?
They'll choke.
Do you know that's not what happens sometimes to new Christians? Boy, they'll get off over there and they'll get in the Leviticus law as a new Christian, and they do what? They choke. Stammering. We need to start out with something small and read the Word of God and begin to grow spiritually. That's the second point that I want. You need to keep the Word of God and you need to grow spiritually. You know, and we jokingly said this about John 3:16. I know what you say, Bill. There's a lot in John 3:16. I know some preachers have preached for 3 years on that one verse. I don't know how long I sat on it when I hit it this last time when I was doing the book of John. But we need to grow spiritually. Reading the Word of God begins your growth spiritually. But just reading the Word is not going to help you if you don't apply it. There are some that you do what to improve your body. You'll do what? You'll exercise, won't you? You'll make yourself stronger with exercise. You'll change your body composition sometimes by exercise, you know. And you know, you won't be like a pair on toothpicks like the preacher is. The thing that we need to understand that you have to exercise what it is that you learn and grow spiritually. You'll never grow spiritually unless you step out on faith, being challenged by God to do something. It is your responsibility as a saint of God. It's your duty to grow spiritually. You cannot grow spiritually just sitting there listening to the preacher.
Amen.
The Sunday school teacher. The youth leaders. You can't grow spiritually unless you exercise your own faith. You have to grow. You have to apply it. You have to begin to trust God to step out in areas. Just like Peter. He'd have never walked on water if he'd have never stepped out of the boat. You've heard that so many times, but it's true. You have got to grow spiritually. You've got to quit being the babes who are being fed the pablum, the bottle, the baby food. You've got to grow spiritually by stepping up and doing something for the Lord Jesus Christ. You have a responsibility to grow as a saint of God. Truly, indeed, that is your duty. truly indeed it is your duty. Now, while you're growing, you know, you're keeping the word of God, firstborn, you're growing spiritually. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 10 is a long passage that I want to read to you. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 10. And what I want you to focus on, it is your duty. While I read this passage of Scripture, I want you to look at this. It is your duty as a saint of God to avoid evil. You've got to read the Word of God. You've got to grow spiritually, but you have got to avoid. You are the one, you are the only one that can keep yourself out of evil situations. You are the only one. You make choices to stay in certain places. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 through 10. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Now, you have to follow God. You're not going, if you're going to follow God, you won't be following evil. And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient. Now, I had to pause there for a moment. That's probably one of my greatest faults, is I'm always picking on somebody, jesting around when there's no reason to do so. We sometimes think there's no harm in it when we pick on one another. Sometimes we'll say something to one another and we never realize that we may hit something that's sensitive within their own very soul. Picking on one another with no just cause. And I'm guilty of that. I'll pick on you and we have a good time and we laugh about it. But if I ever offend you, it was not my intentions to do so. And that's what this is talking about here. Sometimes we shouldn't do that because we can hurt people's feelings. And there are some deep emotional feelings within the heart that just sometimes one little word or one little statement can hurt that particular person. But no foolish talking or jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the what? Wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. You want the wrath of God on you? You disobey. You. Some of you saw the wrath of Larry on you the other night, the van, didn't you? Oh, some of your eyeballs got this big. Because I was what? I was mad. Mad because of disobedience, right? You think my anger is bad, you ought to get the wrath of God on you when you're disobeying Him. Probably more than 100 times worse. Yeah. Yeah, it's unbeat. Here the thing is, we need to stay away. And it says we can do this. We know that we can. And verse 7, be not ye therefore partakers with them. Someone doing evil, the Word of God says, don't get along with them. Don't get along with them. And somebody says, come on, let's go down to the casino and have a meal down there. That's the devil's playground, folks, and I'll preach against it. I'll tell you, you can find good food in any garbage can, but would you eat out of it? Would you want to go and support the devil's playground? Boy.
Same way as the racetrack.
Same way, brother. If it wasn't for Kroger's, there'd be no place I could buy my groceries. I probably wouldn't buy groceries there because of the beer that's there. I got to eat, though. There ain't no other place you can go. Here's the thing is, the Kroger's is not the devil's playground. Understand that I'm not saying that that's what I'm trying to say here. There are things where you go and do things for that particular purpose. For doing evil. It says not. Be what? Therefore not be partakers with them. Right? For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is all in all godliness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. The third point that I'm making tonight, that your duty is to avoid evil. and attain to righteousness. Every one of us has a responsibility to live righteously. And I can't do it for you. Mama can't do it for you. Daddy can't do it for you. Your friends can't do it for you. It's your responsibility to avoid evil and to live righteously. Truly indeed, it's your duty and your responsibility to avoid evil. To avoid evil. Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6, verse number 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. I've said this more recently than any time before. One of our greatest faults or failures as saints of God is we do not pray enough for one another. We don't hold prayer meetings like we should. You know, we need to bathe everything in prayer. We need to pray one for the other. We should pray without ceasing. We should always have a prayer on our lips for our loved ones, for everywhere we're going. Whatever we're doing, we should be talking to the Father. We should be asking Him for guidance, being strengthened by Him. You, as a saint, have the duty to pray. Pray for one another. Pray for yourself. Pray for our country. Pray for the leaders in our country. Pray indeed that God's will be done. We should pray more. And I don't want to copy Brother Joe Barry down there. Do you know what he's doing down there on Monday mornings? He started this about 2 months ago. 5:30 on Monday mornings, he's been having anywhere from 11 to 16 people meet inside the sanctuary and begin to pray before they begin their week. He's been walking around the property 7 times while people have been inside praying. Now, I don't want to copy him, but you know what? He got a good idea, because everything should begin with prayer. Amen. We should pray more often. We don't pray enough. I get so babbling along, and it's my fault. On Wednesday evening, we have a Bible study and prayer meeting, is what it's supposed to be, that we don't pray as long as we should, do we, Miss Rosetta? We've talked about that, haven't we? And I'm thinking about changing this when we start our new Wednesday nights over here. We're going to start praying first and then have Bible study. Prayer should be the most important thing that we do. Prayer is the most powerful tool, and it is your duty as saints to pray. Seeking the Father's will, desiring that He reveal to you what should be done. It's a thought. We need to pray more often. Pray indeed that the Father's will be done. Now the last place that I want to talk tonight about is in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews 6, verse number 9 through verse number 12. But beloved, and understand, the word beloved is indeed the saints of God. And we are indeed the beloved of God. We are the saints of God. We are the brethren. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation, though thus we speak. Here's something that I want to look at in verse number 9. There's something that accompanies salvation. Okay? Yep, this is what happens. Most people get their fire insurance and say, I'm good. I'm okay. But the writer says there's something else that accompanies salvation, does it not? Amen. It says here, as we go through this, that accompanying salvation, though thus we speak, for God is not unrighteous to forget your what? Work and labor. We get to the point where, for by grace are you saved through faith in Jesus. And we stop there in Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10. He says, but you're saved to do what? You're saved to work, to do a good works. And it's not just salvation. You don't need to stop at salvation, folks. Saints have a duty to minister to others. That's where I'm going with this last point. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward His name, and that ye have ministered to the saints, and do what? Minister. Here is the whatever it is that God has given you the skills and the talents to do, you're to do it. Ministering to the saints. I'm focused on us as saints of God being different than the sinners. Being different. Sinners, they'll minister to your flesh. Sinners will minister to your flesh, the things of the devil. They'll minister to the desires of the flesh, and they'll draw you away from God. Will they not? Yeah. The pleasures of this world will draw you away from God.
Come out from among them.
And we should
Amen.
Be different. And we should minister to the good of people. Every one of us has a voice that I know. There are some that can't speak. There's some that can't hear. But even they know how to speak in sign language and all of these things. But every one of us can minister to the other with words of encouragement. Words that are wholesome. Words that are holy, edifying, building up, and calling people to do what's right. We can minister just by being kind one to another. Helping one another. Reaching over and giving. You know, someone drops their book, and this is what I see some people do. They'll kick it further. Oh, they gotta go get it. Yeah, I've done that. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Somebody fumbles and falls, and what do you do? Oh, push them down further. You can minister to people just by being kind to them and helping them, lifting them up when they're down. You can minister more to people. You know, you can get a whole lot more with honey and sugar than the other stuff. You can. And you can help people feel better. Every one of us, as a saint of God, is called to minister. We have the duty to minister to other people. Now, I don't know if some of you have caught how the series of my messages have been going. I'll go back to where I left off on one verse and pick up the next message. Have y'all seen that, the last few messages? Because I'm going to drop and stop right here on this right here. Every one of us are called to minister. Every one of us are called to serve somewhere. And after next Sunday, Virgie, I'm not going to the prophets like I told you, minor prophets. She's so happy about this. I now want to look at how we can minister and how God tells us that we're to minister to one another. The first thing that we have to have in our own hearts to be ministers, to be saints of God, called in the duty of ministry, to serve God, to serve His people, we've got to have salvation, folks. You have got to be saved. Did He not say that there's something that accompanies your salvation? Well, first you got to have salvation before you can truly serve and minister to the Most High God. Something more important than what I'm doing? You gentlemen, you need to listen up. Okay? Cutting up, playing around. What did we talk about once before? You could be quenching the Spirit of God. Someone could actually choose not to do what's right. So y'all need to behave. Okay? That's one duty of the saints of God. You need to behave. Father, we just love You. We praise You. And God, we indeed truly, we want to serve You. We want to do what's right according to Your Word. We need to look at Your Word. We need to live Your Word. And as we move further into these series of messages about saints versus the sinners, we need to understand what it is our ministry is that You have called us to do. Every one of us is called to serve you and to love you. But we need salvation first. Father, if there's anyone here that doesn't know you through your Son Jesus Christ, may this be the night that they receive the truth and know you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand for a moment of invitation.
200 days.